So around the Hunter Valley this morning and probably this afternoon and every morning, many of us rise to the sound of an alarm clock. And I recently read a very interesting article about that very subject in The Conversation. It was written by Matthew Champion, Senior Research Fellow in Medieval Studies at the Australian Catholic University. And Matthew joins us to have a chat this morning. Matthew, how are you?
Going very well.
That's the way. Do you rise to the sound of an alarm clock every day?
I used to. Now I've got kids, it's more kind of screams and jumping on the bed.
That's an alarm clock of sorts. That's almost probably what the original people used to wake up to too, wasn't it?
That's quite right. In the ancient world, people used to sometimes call out the hours of the night from the city walls. So it's one of the earliest alarm clocks we had was the human voice.
So somebody was actually walking around going, it's 11 o'clock, it's midnight.
That's right, probably in an ancient language, but yeah, something like that.
It's a wonder anyone got any sleep. And also people relied on animals as well to wake them up.
That's right. I mean, if you think about our life here in Australia, we still are often woken up by the sound of birds, and there's obviously a really long and ancient history of roosters waking people up at cock's crow. So the natural world, obviously light, birds, the human voice, that's a kind of ancient way we wake up. But that all kinds of changes as we start developing the technologies of clocks and mechanical clocks from around about the 14th century.
People do talk about the rooster. I've got to say one was around the place that we used to live at a few years ago. I think his internal clock was on the fritz because he could start crowing at, 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't think there's anything too accurate there.
That's right. Those scientists have done a study where they kind of expose roosters to all kinds of odd light conditions, and they still tended to crow according to their natural light conditions. But that's not exactly the anecdotal evidence, and there's certainly roosters around our neighbourhood who crow at all kinds of times of night.
And Matthew, there was actually once upon a time a job as the human alarm clock. Somebody would actually go round to wake people up.
Yeah, so that's a kind of product of the Industrial Revolution, where there's a lot of shift work going on and you don't necessarily have the distribution of clocks inside people's houses. So, of course, you've got the public clocks in town halls and churches that are ringing out the hours, but you could pay someone to walk around and tap on your window, a knocker-upper, who might use a long stick on a pole or maybe have a pea shooter to shoot pebbles at your window to make sure that you're up and out of the house at the right time for your shift work.
I'm speaking with Matthew Champion about the history of alarm clocks this morning on 981 2NM. Was the human alarm clock a well-paid job, Matthew?
I think it was more a kind of income top-up. So you might have some records of a policeman who sort of took a bit on the side to do that job. Or there's also some wonderful pictures that you can find of women walking around with their dogs who were also taking a bit of money to do the waking up of the local neighbourhood in the morning.
There you go. And so when did human history start working towards mechanical clocks so we didn't have to employ someone to do it?
So the first traces we start getting in manuscripts of the really early 14th century, that's the mechanical weight-driven clock. Of course, there were clocks before then, water clocks, but the big transition is in the 14th century where these devices start being made where you can sort of harness the power of gravity to drive the clock. And those first clocks are quite large. They're probably in the towers of a town or inside a church or a monastery. But what's interesting is how early those clocks start doing things which you would think are kind of not 100% necessary. A single bell's enough to wake you up. But from really early on, they start playing music on the bells of the alarm. So there's a sort of medieval history to those kind of clock radios or noisy musical alarms that many people use to wake themselves up today.
Well, I guess that's the sort of thing. People like to wake up to a nice sound as opposed to someone tapping on the window, for example, and you'd be more inclined to utilise it.
I think that's right, though. There's a bit of a change, actually. I mean, in the sound of bell, in a medieval city, a bell's something that could be quite alarming. You know, something that might ring in the middle of the night to sound for a fire in the city or to warn that a storm is coming and to cleanse the air of those kinds of dangerous demonic powers. So when we hear bells on our mobile phones, maybe we have a bell alarm on our mobile phone, we're probably thinking, oh, nostalgic kind of sweet rural village. Maybe if you're in a town in northern Italy or in the Low Countries in the 14th century, you're thinking, oh my goodness, something bad's going to happen. So the meaning of sound can change quite radically across time.
Well, the humble alarm clock is truly, I mean, as I say, it is humble. It's something that we really don't think about these days, but it's got an amazing history. Matthew, thank you very much for having a chat to us about it this morning.
A real pleasure. Thank you.